Back everyone to the Angry Ad Man's podcast. My name is Ryan Necessary,
and I'm Joe Hizza to the Bizzle Bibby.
Oh God, not this again! We're back after a week off last week. Joe had finals, and there wasn't much good news to talk about, and I was tired, so we said negative on the Monday night podcast.
That's right,
because we put users first, and we don't want you listening to something that's boring.
But now I'm back with energy and excitement, and I'm high on like 5 cups of coffee.
Oh great! All right, well, on tonight's podcast, we're going to talk about some tech news, and we're also going to go through a list of items of technology that's we think may be useless, and Joe and I disagree on some of these things, but yeah. we'll decide on whether the tech is any good. Okay, so, Joe, for the first story, what have you got?
First story of the week. Homeless man disrupts internet tube service. That's right. The second version of the internet can be disrupted by one lone homeless man. One man with a vendetta.
He was an army. He was an army of one.
That's right. So, if you don't know what the internet tube is, it's basically like a test of, you know, how fast can we make the internet? So it doesn't have as much of the redundancy as the standard internet does. Which to me means it should be like the other internet or intranet also, not internet 2, because it's not better in all ways.
Right. Internet 2.0.
Either way, I guess what happened is this guy was smoking a cigarette. He tossed it, and it landed in a mattress, which started a fire, which took out one of the major circuits.
It was on a bridge, I think.
Yeah, on a bridge across the Charles River. So the cables were going across this bridge, and the bridge burned down, so no more cables.
Great.
Yeah. So don't trust Internet 2 for your all-the-time service.
Right. You have to pay for the homeless man protection
plan. That's right. So we got some other tech that has failed us recently. What was that, Ryan?
That would be the laptops and school-related tech. So apparently in Liverpool, I guess this is Liverpool, New York, they've decided to slowly phase out their laptop program for students because I guess they feel that every morning when all the students come in and start surfing, checking their email, sending instant messages, their network basically just blows up, and they're spending way too much time trying to service the laptops. Laptops are being stolen. They're more of a distraction than a help, and I guess they just don't want to pay for the expense of it. So so much for laptops in school, you know, one for every student.
Well, and this was high school, right?
Yes, this is high school.
So, you know, it's been a while since I've been in high school. But just thinking back, like, I had, like, you know, the TI-82 calculator that was programmable. Right. That was enough to distract me in study hall for, like, an hour. So a laptop with wireless internet, I mean, I would be paying attention 0% of the time. It just seems like a bad idea for high school
students. Well, here's the thing, too, is that on the one hand, they're on this kick of, well, we want to ban cell phones in a class.
Right.
Because that's just, you know, that's too much ability for students to cheat and it's too distracting. But think about a student running a web server on his laptop from his desk, you know,
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm all about using technology in schools and kids should be learning this from age zero. So it's good on that front. But man, it's just, even in college, people don't pay attention if they have a laptop in front of them. So, I mean, high school students, they don't care about anything, so...
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. So much for that.
Yeah.
What else we got?
Well, this is going to be good news for pretty much every IT guy out there. Coffee really can be good for you.
Really?
Apparently, there's a new study that the good old coffee can fight diabetes and cancer. So here's another good reason to switch from Mountain Dew to coffee. It's it's only one study, and I'm sure there's going to be somebody that, you know, comes around and says, well, yes, it can help diabetes and cure cancer, but it also, like, makes you lose all feeling in both limbs and your toes turn into like broccoli or something. I don't know. Yeah. But either way, you know, coffee goes back and forth whether it's good for you or not. But it seems like, you know, coffee is going to be better for you than drinking like sodas all the time or something like that. So
yeah, you know, I never really drank a lot of coffee. I was always more of a soda guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the recent years, I've started drinking more like Starbucks type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I thought I was pretty caffeine, you know, desensitized.
Right.
But there's just something about a cup of coffee that will give me a headache, you know?
Yeah, you got to be careful. You got to make sure you drink some water with it. And the other thing, too, is like Starbucks, their coffee, I think, has super high caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, I mean, we are a tech podcast, so we don't need to get too much into this, but this is just straight coffee. This isn't like, you know, coffee with like sugar and cream and like five different kinds of vanilla flavor
additives.
And,
yeah.
You know, a protein shot also. I mean, it's so.
Yeah, I remember back in the late 90s when I would get to work at the server room, it was like 7:30 in the morning and breakfast for all the IT guys was like a cigarette and a Mountain Dew. I mean, what a horrible existence. You know?
Yeah.
But it's like, if you didn't have that, you would just, like, quit your job.
Yeah, this guy I used to work with, he did that for breakfast. And then for lunch, he would have another Mountain Dew, another cigarette, and a Pop-Tart. Mixing it up a little bit, you know? You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome. Pure chemistry.
Yeah. So, there's some other big news this week, right?
Yeah, so the big thing this week. We're not going to do it to death because it's already been talked about, but we have to mention it. So, on May 1st, I think it was, somebody posted this AACS HD DVD encryption key mm-hmm. string to the popular news website dig.com, which is a site where the users vote up the stories that are on the front page. You know, it's not chosen by an editor. Well, they got a nasty gram from, I guess, the HD DVD people. So the site owners, Kevin Rose and company, took it down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Dig community, which is pretty big, didn't like that. So they started posting it multiple times and all digging each other's stories right. of this thing. So I think the top one was something like 65,000 digs or something, which is, I think, broke all records maybe. But it's not really... So really there's two things that were happening. You have people that are choosing to vote for the story based on their hatred of DRM.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also got people that are voting for the story because they're protesting against the original links being taken down by the site. So Kevin Rose, who kind of runs dig.com, he admitted that, you know, he is putting himself at risk, and he pretty much stated that because of the huge, you know, outrage of all the site users, that he went ahead and posted this string of numbers back on the site. Now, one factor in all this too is that this string of numbers and hex and all this stuff, mm-hmm. it's not really even clear how to use it
right.
to decrypt an HD DVD. So it was like a little piece of information that somebody got, and then they posted, look, here's a little chunk of the mysterious DRM for HD DVD, and then everyone's like, oh, cool. But it's, how much harm is it actually doing? Probably not much.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, to me, the story isn't important because, like, oh, look, we got the HD DVD code. Finally victorious against the man.
Yeah.
It's more just, here's why user-generated content is important still, and probably still will be for a long time, is that, you know, what we think is important is what should get to the front page no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were them, I probably would not have gone the full way and I mean, posted this in my own name mm-hmm. saying, yes, I support them posting this, because chances are pretty good they're going to see some negative effects from that. But either way, you know, this is why I like user-generated content. I don't know. I didn't really get into the whole storm of let's dig this up like crazy, but mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty funny that, you know, Kevin Rose, the in quotes dark tipper, was taking this kind of stuff down. I don't know. It just shows that everybody gets to a point where, you know, it is a business and they're trying to keep it that way and keep users happy mm-hmm. without making certain corporations.
Well, he's
bad.
Really screwed because, yeah. I mean, if, you know, if he ignores the legalities of everything, then he's not going to be in business for very long.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if he ignores the wishes of all of his user base, then he's not going to get anywhere either. You know, so,
right.
I mean, if his site gets shut down by lawyers, all of his users will be like, huh, well, too bad. We're on
yeah,
to the next thing.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they're not going to, you know, send him a dollar to help him out. So, I don't know. And then all the news, major news things picked up on it saying, oh, it was a huge internet riot.
Yeah, that was the funniest thing.
It was an online revolution.
Yeah. You know? It was. I mean, to me, this wasn't anything that hasn't happened before. It's just, you know, Dig is still in the spotlight, so that's why I think why it got so much coverage.
Yeah. So anyway, that was like the big to-do of the week, but I'm not sure if it was, I don't think lives were changed or really anything happened because of it. So.
Yeah.
What else is out there?
So we've got probably what will change your life forever.
Really?
This is the greatest story that we have ever covered on Angry Admins.
And we saved it for last.
That's right. This is the do-it-yourself binder clip cable catcher.
What?
That's right. All you need is a little, you know, those little like binder clips, metal handles, and
the black plastic and it holds papers together.
Triangle looking thing, yeah.
Okay.
You use that, you stick a cable through it, and you clip it to your desk. No more cables slipping behind your desk. Come on, this is totally awesome.
I can't believe this is our news story.
So, I think the reason that I put this in here, and I know, Ryan, you're not a fan of this story, but I've been setting up a new lab, and we're probably going to do a story about this sometime down the road, but about the new lab. But either way, I've been running a lot of new cables and setting up a lot of new desks, and I've had lots of cables falling behind them, and the floor in this new lab is dirty, and I'm tired of crawling around on the floor trying to get the cable up there. And so this was like, oh, this is such a great idea, and it's so simple, and these are everywhere. But whether it works really well or not, we'll see in practice, but to me it's just so simple, and I like it.
I like reaching behind the desk and getting the cables that slip behind the
bottom. You like doing that?
I do.
Okay.
I look forward to that every day. please, cable gods, slip some cables behind the desk today.
Well, and, you know, like power cords and that kind of stuff, it's not as big of a deal to me, but like the little cables, like the mini USB.
Yeah.
Where even if you can reach behind there and put it up there on top of the desk, by the time you crawl back out from under the desk, it's fallen back there yet again.
Yeah. I usually fish for it. Mm-hmm. So I throw another cable back there and then reach down and like tie the two in a knot and then go back upstairs and like pull the thing back up.
Uh-huh.
And so that's my technique for handling it. Or I just be like, hey, dude, can I borrow that tape? And I just like tape a whole bunch of it to the monitor.
Or you just drill a hole in the desk. I think you were doing that the other day, weren't you?
Yeah. Or my other secret is to like push where the desks come together and that crack, like wedge them in that crack. So it totally breaks all the insulation on the cables and everything.
That's excellent.
Because the more cables that fail, that's more business for me. Got to stay employed.
That's true.
I'm the cause of and the solution to all of our building's IT problems.
So we've got another toolbox this week. This is exciting because we've got two in a row now. Although we did miss a week, so I guess that doesn't count. But either way, this tool is called Marco Polo. And again, this is an OS X only tip. Sorry for all the PC users out there, but this is what I've got. What this app is for automatic location switching. The idea behind it is you've got, you know, your work, you have a laptop that you bring to work and you take home and maybe a few other places regularly. So you've got your IPs that you need set for work and, you know, your default printer and a few other small things like that, you know, mail servers, that kind of thing. And what you do is you set up rules based on what items are around when you're at that location. Location switching is built into OS X, so the network part of it's already there. It ties into that, but then it does other things like printers. So, for example, when I'm at work, I'm plugging in my Mac, and I use the Apple keyboard. So it knows, well, let me backtrack a little bit. Here's a few things that it can base it on. Bluetooth devices, FireWire devices, assigned IP addresses. So if you're using DHCP at a location and it gives you an IP address, you can base it on that. Power source, and USB and visible Wi-Fi devices.
So it's like a context. It sees what's around it
exactly.
And says, okay, this must be my
exactly.
location.
Exactly. So, for example, at work, I set it to if I get this IP and I have this keyboard plugged in, then this is my location.
Mm.
and then set this printer to default. It's pretty nice, and it works really well. I was a little unsure how well it would work, and you just have to make sure you pick some things that are consistently there. The other nice thing, though, is if maybe something's there sometimes and sometimes not. Say there's a Wi-Fi hotspot that sometimes is available and sometimes it's turned off. Mm-hmm. You can set confidence levels for each item. So, you know, or maybe you have like something that's in both locations, but you still want to have it on there because it's not in one other location. You set that for like 50% confidence level. And it works flawlessly. The only catch I've had is that setting the default printer, you have to make sure you have the name right. If it's off just by a little bit and you have to type that in yourself, then the printer won't change correctly. But either way, it's a free app. We'll have a link in the show notes. I've been using it for a couple weeks now, and I've been very happy with it. You know, I can just plug in, you know, and start going, and everything's set already. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to print, make sure I choose the right printer, or I forget, or whatever. And it's been flawless, so go check it out. Oh, and also, one other thing I wanted to add, it has growl support for all you OS X users, if you don't know what that is. Basically, it's a little app that gives you nice little status updates on the top right of your screen, similar to like some of the status updates you get in Windows, but all kinds of apps can plug into that. And so it tells you when it's changing your location, you see these little updates. Very cool. We'll have a link, go download it and check it out.
Okay, within the realm of technology today, we're all buying gadgets, we're all buying software, we're dealing with computers and, you know, technology in our homes and our televisions, our cell phones, just it's everywhere. Now, when you look at these devices and you look at this software, there's all these features there that, you know, it just seems like, who thought to put this in here and who is using it? You know, so I thought we should do like a little short segment on the useless features and technology that no one uses that undoubtedly we're paying for. And I'm sure it has to do with, well, we want to have more features than the next guy.
Yeah.
So you wind up with a TV remote control with 400 buttons on it instead of just the six that we want. So, Joe, why don't you go first? We're going to just talk about some of these.
Okay. So I'm going to mix it up and go out of order from our list we already talked about.
Okay.
Because I think the number one we need to talk about is fax machines.
Okay.
This is just like, okay, what could we possibly ever need a fax machine for still?
I don't know.
Every time you need like medical documents signed or something, you have to fax it. Yet if they're worried about forgery, I could just...
That would be the time to do it.
Yeah. I mean, a fax is like the lowest quality document you ever see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's just stupid. What is the point of having a fax machine ever?
Well, in the digital age, we're taking an analog thing.
Right.
We're turning it into ones and zeros, and then we're turning it back into an analog
yes.
thing.
Yes.
So that's a failure right there.
I mean, so this has affected me recently because in the new lab, I had to get an analog line installed and order a fax machine. What a waste.
It is. It's a waste. It's for people who cling to paper.
Yeah.
Like, look at my piece of paper. I feel good about my day because I have this piece of paper to show what I do.
So I'll send them an attachment and they print it out.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
don't know.
I agree. Faxes are fired. Okay, so here's one that I thought of. Is anybody watching the special features on DVDs? Anybody? Director commentary? The making of?
I have to say I'm a little guilty of this one.
What?
This is like one of those things that I just watch them like crazy. It's...
Man, you're killing me.
I know. And it's not that I'm really getting a lot of use out of it. There's only a relative few that I've actually enjoyed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord of the Rings DVDs, those were amazing. The special features were like another movie in and of itself.
Yeah. See, some of that I could see, but...
But, you know, I mean, some of them are really worthless. Like, do I really want to look at a photo slideshow on a DVD or, like, read on my TV screen the description of all the other movies this actor has done when I could just go onto, you know, IMDb and see it in 2 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
So some of that stuff's annoying, and I don't know why they waste their time with it. But
yeah.
I have to agree that in most of the time, even though I'm watching it, I'm watching these deleted scenes, and They're so worthless.
Yeah, you know why it was deleted.
Yeah. So on the media front, we'll continue with that. Picture in picture on TV. I think I've used this maybe two or three times in my life.
Oh, yeah. I can really see. So it's, the old joke goes, you know, I can't find one thing to watch, much less two at the same time.
Yeah. It's a. I mean, I can see the idea. You know, if I hadn't ever bought my own TV and I'm going to a store and this one offered picture in picture and the other one didn't, you know, sure. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's get that one instead. It's one of those feature creep items that doesn't really get used. I have to say I've used it probably once or twice recently when, on my 360, I'm downloading something and I want to just keep an eye on that. So I have that be my picture in picture.
Oh,
and
then I watch TV. About that.
That's the only thing I've been using it for recently, but that's going to go away soon with the new update. So, because then I'll just power it off and I won't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's only because I have a 360 now, but I don't use it for watching TV. I mean, for one thing, you can't use it with a cable box because the cable only has one input, so you can't have picture in picture. So, in practical purposes, it just doesn't really work out.
Yeah. So, how about the hold button on telephones? Who are you putting on hold?
Telemarketers?
Oh, man.
No, I know. Yeah, I don't think I've ever used that.
Yeah. Or how about the intercom function?
Yeah. No, never used that.
The locator?
The mute button.
Mute button.
I maybe used the mute button a few times, I guess.
See, but you can't trust that, though.
The locator I've used because I'm always losing the phone in the couch cushion. But we have this old, nasty couch that, like, sucks everything that you sit on it.
It's hungry for your phone and your change.
But, yeah, I mean... Do I really need to put somebody on hold when I'm talking to him on the phone? I think if I put him on hold, it's just time to hang up.
Exactly.
So how about this? I know you have one of these. How about a pager?
Well, I don't have it by choice. But you know what? The only reason I keep it is because I don't want them having my cell phone number.
Yeah, but don't most people have it anyway? Because usually when you get paged, you call back from your cell phone.
Well, there is that. But I could always call them back from a work phone.
True, that's true. You could.
Is usually what I do. And this is my favorite thing. When they page me and I'm at my desk, I call them back from my desk to make the point that you could have just called my desk.
Mm.
Although I hate, in the previous podcast, I did say that I hated people who called me on the telephone.
Right. Well, I mean, that would include pager, cell phone, and regular phone.
So they should be emailing me anyway.
Yeah. No, you should just start emailing people back when they page you.
Yeah, like what? Hey, this is Ryan. What's going on? And that's the whole thing. I should just reply. I should send him an email that says hello? Question mark.
So, yeah. But on that same front, what about the paging option in a cell phone voicemail? Now that's an advanced feature
now
that we
all
need.
I can say I have never used. Press 1 to leave this person a numeric page. Well, they're gonna see the number in the call log.
I did it once just to myself back when I got my first phone just to see what it did.
Yeah.
And all it does, I think this is how it is on all phones, all it does is send you a text message with the number that they called from. So, I mean, I guess the only way that could be useful is if somebody has their phone turned off and you're calling them and you page them instead of leaving them a voicemail. But I'd rather just get a voicemail.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to show up in their call history if their phone's off, is my point.
And it's not like it automatically picks up your number.
Right.
So it's like if you don't know your number off the top of your head, like it's hard for me to remember my cell phone number because I don't call my cell phone.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's useful.
Yeah. Just give me a voicemail. It's advanced.
So here's something that may be marginally useful is how about the little small tool tray icons in Windows at the bottom right next to the clock?
Yeah, I would say there's maybe three that are useful out of the 5,000 that everybody tries to install.
I think it depends on the software.
Yeah.
When you right-click that little icon thing, you know, if it's letting me pause something, say if it's like MySQL or if it's some sort of a service or virus scanning, and it's like, oh, I need to install some software, let me right-click my virus scanning tool tray icon and temporarily pause real-time scans.
That's right.
Because I'm installing something.
Right.
So I guess there are times, but most of the time when they put junk down there, it's doing nothing for me.
Good example, QuickTime.
Yes, what is with QuickTime down there?
And it's gotten a little bit easier to disable that, but it used to be like you had to get into the registry to get that thing not to come in there.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, you got QuickTime. Oh yeah, there's nothing you can do about it.
I think it's maybe supposed to help start up QuickTime faster, because actually Windows does that with Windows Media Player, but they don't have a little app down there. It's just running in the background, so it looks like it runs faster.
And I think historically, if you didn't have that thing running, like if you killed that and you went to a page that had embedded QuickTime whatever, then sometimes under some browsers it would be hard to play
it. It seems like they fixed that issue, because I mean I disable it all the time now and it seems to run fine all the time. But yeah, the only thing I do like for that too is I like minimizing things to tray. Like Outlook, you can minimize it to tray, so I don't have the little big wide Outlook application in my taskbar. I think I'm the only person in the world that uses that, but I love it.
Okay.
The least amount of items I have in my taskbar, the better.
Yeah, but it's still in RAM.
Yeah, but it's like, I hate it when like the taskbar icons are like a quarter of an inch wide and you can't even see what they are.
It's time to close some windows, man.
Well, that's what I have RAM for.
Oh, man. Forget that.
Yeah. Here's one of mine that I don't, maybe some people find these useful, but I've never used one in the history of the world. A memory card reader.
Yeah.
Why would I want that?
Well, the second cameras came out with their own USB cable.
Right.
It was all over.
Yeah.
Because who needs this?
I guess I have to say the first digital camera I had did not have built-in USB. It had a serial cable. Which is just like, kill me now, because I'm not going to plug in via serial. So I did use one then. I have to admit that. But like, they're everywhere now. You got a media card reader in the laptop, in your printer, in your monitor.
The PCs have them in the 5 1/4 inch
space. I don't want that. I'm never going to use it.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, taking that memory card in and out of my camera all the time is going to wear out that mechanism faster. I'd rather just plug into the USB port and keep my memory card, which was more expensive. I mean, I guess I can wear out the USB port too, but
yeah,
I don't know.
No, I totally agree. The whole memory card thing is just off the books stupid. I'm so sick of them. And if I wouldn't have been so opposed to it, but there was like SD and micro SD and compact flash.
Like 12 readers in one.
It's like, no, please don't do this to me.
Yeah.
And I think it's even on the PS3, isn't it?
I think there is a memory card.
There's a thing there.
So it's no wonder it's so advanced.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. So this is one that you mentioned, Rumble headphones.
Oh, don't get me started on this.
Because you want your head to rumble.
Man, the first time I put on a pair of these, I think we accidentally ordered one for work. So we just needed some headphones, and it was like the cheapest one on Newegg. And it has, so the first point of failure is the dongle on a headphone,
right?
Any headphone to me that has a dongle is just going to get thrown out the window. Because you put on the headphone and you're used to having the wire just be loose. But then you got this like 12-pound thing filled with batteries.
In the middle of the cord between the computer and your head.
And you've got to like clip it to your shirt.
Yeah, because the awesome thing
like
is
the new pocket protector.
When it pulls off the desk.
Oh, yeah, and falls onto the floor.
And then it tugs your
head. Yes, that's excellent.
Yeah, that makes me happy.
So basically any accessories built into my headphones, just no. No, thank you.
Well, I can't say for gaming. It is nice to have some small dongle there so that I can reach up and mute.
Yeah, I just...
But that's me, so
I have to say, I mean, there's just got to be a better way to do it. I don't know. Can't they just, like, put a button on the side of the headphone for mute or something? Why does it have to be, like, in line?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Manufacturing
costs. So, like, the 360, you know? I use the mute on that because it's right there on the controller. So
it's by your hand.
So, like... You know, have the mute be like a keyboard command that just mutes it. You don't need it on the dongle. Come on, man. Don't support this crap.
I support it on the $10 headphones. How about that? But not on the $80 Rumble Porsche headphones.
I guess. I don't know. I don't know. So, here's something that, you know, maybe was useful back in, like, 1991. But why it's still on there, I don't know. The phone plug on the power strip.
Oh, we're talking surge protectors,
right? Yeah,
the
surge protectors.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so, sure, back in the day when everybody had a modem, and, you know, we were worried about lightning frying your computer, and there was this big scare, oh, you gotta get the power strip with the phone plug on it. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't need that still, so why don't you get that off of there and save me $3?
Right, and then there's also the coax protector on the yes. power strip.
Hey, those are super useful.
Well, okay, so I could see their progression here. Well, first we're protecting your
right.
analog modem, and now we're protecting your cable modem.
Well, the funniest thing about that is most of the time the cable's under the ground. So how's it going to, you know...
I guess if your house gets zapped, you know, it's up at the corner of your house. But here's the thing. Yeah. The cable company makes a big point of reminding me that cable modem belongs to them.
That's right. So if it gets fried...
So if it gets smoked, I don't care.
That's right.
I'm taking it back. Oh, yeah, it's smoked. It's a lightning rod. I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much any extra item on my power strip. I just want plugs. Give me 2 more plugs instead of that. That'd be great.
Yeah, your power strip now has 3 plug holes and 28 accessory holes.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
Yeah. So how about those contextual menus in the shell, like when you right-click in Windows and you have, like, add to WinZip, add to WinRAR, add to Media Player.
Yeah. Play and real player.
Makes it take like 5 seconds for your right click to actually come up because it's got to load all these other menu options.
Yeah. You know, your registry is longer than like Charles Manson's rap sheet when you right click and it like scrolls off the screen. That's how I know that someone has installed like the entire internet.
I mean, I guess, you know, if you want to be able to do everything from the right click, then hey, there you go.
Yeah. But, yes. Sorry, Mac users with your Mighty Mouse. You don't have to put up with that. No way.
Yeah, we just have to mash it with one hand.
Yeah. So that sucks. But how about this? How about the granddaddy of useless technology, which, in my opinion, is the bundled software?
Oh, yes.
So what do you get on a new PC? On an average new PC right now, when you crack it open, what's on there?
Well, you get, like a Dell home PC, I think you get their, like, monitoring service. You get their, hey, we can log into your PC and fix it from here service. You get their, we'll check all of our software that we've installed that you don't want to make sure there's not a new version.
Right.
Of the software you don't want.
Yep.
You get the 30-day trial antivirus.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which in 30 days is going to start to complain.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And then it's up to you to uninstall.
And a lot of times it's not the antivirus anymore. It's the all-in-one internet suite protector.
Right.
That basically disables everything. We'll protect you from yourself. You can't even click to open an application.
I hate that junk.
Those are the big ones. What else? I don't
know. Google Toolbar is probably...
Yeah, that just needs to go. I mean, you know I like Google. You know I do, but man...
I do too, but I hate
Google. Don't bundle that crap in there. Come on.
The latest Dells we bought even had some sort of mouse suite.
Oh, yeah. They always come with a mouse suite.
And then that screwed up Pro E.
Yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Well, and then, I mean, so, yeah, it comes bundled with your PC. But then, like, if you get an HP printer, you have to install, like, a new operating system, I think, just to get the printer to work.
Well,
that
I really...
comes with all kinds of stuff.
I'm kind of disappointed when I'm shopping for PCs for the lab at work, you know, or, you know, if it's work-related, I'm looking at Dell's side, and I'm in the corporate section, and I'm... there, and then they give me the... They know what they're doing because they give me the option to pay more to get it taken off.
Oh, that's even worse. Why should I have to pay somebody to remove something I don't want?
If I'm already in the business thing, don't make me pay to take the games off.
Yeah.
Just... do it. How much could it be costing them? You know, that's horrible.
To me, though, I think the worst bundled software is the software that, at least for me, like the digital camera software.
Oh, that stuff's always horrible.
I mean, it doesn't work. The built-in stuff in XP and OS X, you know, ever since System Service Pack 2 has been fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and then if I'm going to edit a photo, I mean, chances are pretty good I've got Photoshop or at least Photoshop Elements. That's so much better than anything that the camera company is going to give me.
And printers are getting bad about this, too.
Yeah, the printers, the latest HP printer I bought was awful.
Yeah, I got mine. We bought the same printer.
Yeah.
Because yours rocked pretty hard. And so I was like, oh, thanks for testing that out. By the way, I'm going to buy it now. But, yeah, it installed, like, 3 different things.
Yeah,
there's, like, the thing and the thing that goes with the thing and the yada yada monitoring deal. And I'm like, if I install all 3 of these, will my printer quit printing? You know, so it's, like, great.
Yeah. Now, they are getting a little smarter. You know, it's not necessarily always on the CD. But, like, HP, a lot of times you can go to their website and download the in quotes, driver only version, which, I mean, if I'm downloading the driver, isn't that what I want?
Right.
But so sometimes there are ways to get that, but man, it's just, they're bundling software with everything now. It's like, hey, here's your latte with Google Toolbar. Right. I mean,
I'm surprised at how much I download now that has Google Toolbar attached to it.
They're everywhere.
I don't even remember what it was the other day. I think it was like a driver. And it was like, oh, do you want Google Toolbar? Yeah. Like, no.
I'm a fan of Google, but I don't use Google Toolbar. I've got enough stuff in Firefox. I don't need another toolbar.
Yeah.
I don't use toolbars in general, but...
Yeah, if I need Google to search my home PC...
Yes.
It's time to clean up.
Yeah, that's a problem.
So, yeah, that's... I don't know. That's, to me, some of the big ones that's part of the useless parts of technology that we're all undoubtedly paying for, having to cope with, having to uninstall, and the problem is just growing.
Well, and I think we both know, and probably most of our listeners know, that the reason a lot of this comes around is because there hasn't been a lot of big development. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it. So instead of, like, creating something innovative, they just add another feature. Mm-hmm. So you get feature creep on your cell phone, on your TV, on your laptop, on everything. It's like, to help the consumer decide between this one and that one, and they're both really identical, we add this useless feature that you're never going to use. But hey, you might, so you buy that one for the same price.
You know what cell phone interested me last year? Was the cell phone, and I can't remember who makes them, but they're for, like, your grandparents.
Yeah.
And it has,
talking
like
about that.
10 buttons on it. And that's all it does. It makes calls. And get this.
Yeah.
It answers calls.
What?
And that's all it does. Yeah. There's no phone. There's no hold. There's no blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There's no texting.
Right.
And I was like, that's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
It's very Spartan, you know?
Yeah. I think the only failure was that it wasn't small.
Right.
I mean, if a phone's going to be that, well, in my mind, useless.
It was like a big Fisher Price phone.
It should be like the phone in Zoolander where it's like an inch tall.
Right.
Hello?
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm a fan of less features that work.
Well, and especially for you, for most people, I mean, they don't know how to use it. So most people, when they get a cell phone, all they do is they put a few numbers in there and they make some phone calls. And that's all they're going to do. So why are you wasting our time? I mean, I use a lot of features. I'm kind of, I think, the exception. If I see something in my phone or on my PC or somewhere else that I don't know what it is, I'll, like, dive down into the manual. Like, oh, what does this do? Well, maybe it'll be... And then I'll use it once or twice. I'll know what it does, but I won't use it again.
Right.
So,
I don't know. Stuff we all pay for.
Yeah.
All right, folks. That's going to wrap up episode 26 of Angry Admins. As always, if you have any feedback or complaints or suggestions, stop by our forums at, is it forum?
Forum, singular, because there's only one.
There's one forum at
forum.angryadmins.com/forum.
Oh, it's angryadmins.com/forum.
Yes, like dvorak.org/blog. It's slash.
Okay. So that's that. Anyway, it's on the website, man. Just go to our website, please.
Yeah.
So there's that. You can also email us at feedback@angryadmins.com. Thanks for all of our regular listeners and new listeners. This has been our 6-month milestone. We've been doing this for 6 months.
Pretty wild.
Who would have thought it?
I
kind of figured we would stick with it.
Yeah, we're sticking with it whether or not anybody's really listening.
Right. We have enough to complain about to keep us going a long time. So thanks to all the listeners out there. We appreciate you. So, until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joel Bibby.
Stay angry.